चित्तः कल्वत्स्य बन्धाय मुक्तये चात्मनो मतम् गुणेषु शक्तं बन्धयाम् रत्तं वा पुंसि मुक्तये चेतः कॉन्शियसनेस हलु इंडीड अस्य ऑफ हिम बंधाय फॉर बॉन्डेज मुक्तये फॉर लिबरेशन चा एंड आत्मनः ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी मतम इज कंसिडर्ड गुणेषु इन द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ नेचर सक्तम attracted bandhaya for conditional life ratam attached va or pungsi in the supreme personality of Godhead muktaye for liberation translation the stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditional life but when that same consciousness is attached to the supreme personality of Godhead one is situated in the consciousness of liberation please repeat the stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditional life but when that same consciousness is attached to the supreme personality of Godhead one is situated in the consciousness of liberation There is a distinction here between Krishna consciousness and Maya consciousness. Guneshu, or Maya consciousness, involves attachment to the three material modes of nature, under which one works sometimes in goodness and knowledge, and sometimes in passion, and sometimes in ignorance. These different qualitative activities with the sensual attachment for material enjoyment are the cause of one's conditional life. When the same cetaha or consciousness is transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or when one becomes Krishna conscious, he is on the path of liberation. End of purport. ओम ज्ञानांतरंदशाज्ञान सलकाय चक्षुर्मितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः विष्णुदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतरे श्रीमति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नित्यनामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे ने विशेष शंदवारी पश्चात्य सतारिणे Translation again, the stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditional life. But when that same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. So these instructions from Kapila Muni to Devahuti. This chapter is entitled The Glories of Devotional Service. We'll also describe the Shankhya system of yoga. So here in this shloka, we learn that attachment must be there, or attraction must be there to something. The nature of the spirit soul, living entity, pure nature is attachment to attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-attractive person. Just like particles of iron are naturally attracted to a magnet. The iron, the magnet is also made of iron. So that is the natural condition of life, and that is the that is how the creation is manifest. The one living entity, chief living entity of all the other living entities, and all the other living entities are attracted to him because they're supported by him and maintained by him. So if we're supported by someone, maintained by someone, or loved by someone, and nourished by somebody, in other words, we're getting protection and happiness from someone or something, we become very attached. That is what we see in the material world. Why do we like somebody? Why do we love somebody? Because of the feeling they give us, that feeling of shelter, that feeling of safety, and that feeling of being loved, being worthwhile, being, you know, being, you enjoy that, being that recognition, that attention is enjoyable. So that is the actual situation with the Lord, who is the one supreme, who is maintaining, nourishing, and protecting all of the other. Now, when the material manifestation happens due to the desire of the independent living entities, who somehow or other turn away from their well-wisher, best friend, their maintainer, supplier, somehow or other, and of course there's nowhere to go but Krishna. Everything is coming from him, everything is his, so we actually can't be separated from him. But to fulfill the desire of the living entities, it's like a naughty child wants to play somewhere. So if they keep on nagging, the parents, after a while, they may let them do it, even though it's not the best thing to do, but still just let them get it out of their system. So Krishna arranges the material. Within the spiritual world, everything is, from his point of view, everything is actually spiritual. But he empowers a part of it to act in a different way, which is contrary to the way everything else acts in the spiritual world. And this is called the Brahmanda, or the material world. Material life means forgetfulness of Krishna. So as soon as one turns to Krishna, since one remembers Krishna, remembers one's position, then the material world doesn't exist anymore, factually, in the consciousness. So here you're going to be attached to something, you're going to be attracted by something. So because we want that, we want to explore this independence in ways which are not actually conducive or what Krishna would like. But he's given us that freedom. So then he removes his... He covers the living entity with forgetfulness. And then we find ourselves in the material world. Material world means three modes of nature, Prabhupada mentions here. So then forgetting Krishna, then all we can see is these three modes of nature. All we can perceive is three modes of nature. So then we become attached to the three modes of nature in various ways. So Prabhupada gives a lecture on this in this series in Bombay.
Yeah.
And he was saying how the that's all there is going on, the three modes of nature. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that all that's happening in this world is the three modes of nature are moving. And the living entity is desiring to move in and out of these three modes of material nature in a way that is suitable for his idea, his mentality. Everyone is looking for some comfortable and pleasurable situation. So this is called Maya, because this whole material modes of nature, they're just fluctuating all the time, and it's constantly changing from it's like a theater, and it's a long movie, a long show. From Satya Yuga, the whole show starts at Satya Yuga, dwindles down to Kali Yuga, gradually it degenerates. Then when it gets so bad, then it starts again to Satya Yuga, and then that goes on. So this is all that's going on, and after incalculable time, of course it's calculable, but after unlimited to us period of time, then the whole thing is wound up completely when Mahavishnu breathes in again, after many cycles. And then he breathes out again the next moment. The next second he breathes out again. And then it all happens again. So this is the Maya. But when we're in that, when we're in the exhaling breath of Mahavishnu, and we're identifying with all of this phantasmagoria, it's real, but it's fleeting, it's changing. And then we become according to the modes of nature that we associate with, then we take on a particular body which is gifted by the modes of nature. Therefore there's 8,400,000 species of life to facilitate the living entity's desire. Relatively speaking, the mode of nature, the mode of goodness is better because it, from the mode of goodness, if we become attracted to the mode of goodness, from that comes actually happiness, knowledge and happiness. And that knowledge can be developed into understanding the difference between liberation and condition. So that is the ultimate question. That is actually knowledge. The knowledge, it means to discriminate between spirit and matter. So only a person who is attracted to the mode of goodness, or attracted to these different qualities, a more thoughtful person, he can understand. So a person who's intelligent, he will follow this, or a person who's fortunate, as in our case, he will accept this, he'll try for the to be situated in the mode of goodness. And therefore he gets a body suitable. So he can understand the pure Brahmana. He's a human being, he's elevated in the human life. The Brahmana he's accepted as spiritual master, means Brahman, situated in the mode of goodness. This birth is achieved after much evolvement through different species of life and much evolvement through human form of life. If you look at the natural progression, not overlooking the mercy aspect, but in the natural progression of from tama to sattva. So that's better, but still you're still within this Brahmanda, and distinguishing this is better than that. But Srila Prabhupada says that it's the material, the Brahmanda is actually a prison house, a fortress. It's very difficult to get out of. Krishna says, very difficult to get out of. Very difficult to understand. Like a banyan tree with the fruits up and the branches down. And so many branches, so many leaves, which one will we follow? So we take help from the sadhu, the scripture, and then Krishna says, there's so many scripture, be it rise above, eventually rise above the flowery words of the Vedas, because the Vedas are mainly teaching how to be safe and how to enjoy in this world, or within this Brahmanda, because that's what everyone wants. So that's their main focus. So Krishna says, when one should rise above flowery words of the Vedas, become indifferent. Huh? By rising above the modes of nature, then one becomes indifferent to all that has been heard, all that is to be said regarding this modes of nature. That means one will come to one will actually have direct experience of liberation. Then one can be actually indifferent to all of what has been said, because already all of these Vedas, all the words, they're ultimately meant to bring one to the position of liberation from the modes of nature. So when one has surpassed the modes of nature, then one is truly indifferent, can be truly indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard regarding one's progress. But of course, the hearing about what does one hear, what does one become attached to when one becomes liberated, because the soul's nature is active, the soul's nature is to become attached. So that is the subject matter of the Vaishnavas, that is the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam starts at the platform of liberation. It starts from the very beginning, it kicks out Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, kicks out even the doesn't want to discuss Moksha, I mean liberation from the modes of nature, which is what the Vedas are all about, practically speaking. So it starts off like this, it's above that. When you've done that, when you're finished with Dharma, when you're finished with Artha, when you're finished with Karma, that means you're finished trying to looking for comfort in this world. You're looking to be somebody in this world, or to be something in this world. When you finish past all that, so we can meditate, we can be introspective on that point. What do we want in life? What do we want out of life? What do we want in the future for ourselves? What do we want to be? What would we like to be? Then we can understand our position in the spiritual paradigm. But the point of liberation from all this is actually freedom, because it's actually troublesome, because everyone is trying to attain something, but when you get that position, you still have to maintain it. Because the nature of the modes of nature, they're constantly fluctuating. Krishna says there's a constant struggle for supremacy. So sometimes Rajas is supreme, and sometimes Tamas is supreme, sometimes Sattva is on top. But there's this constant fluctuation, and everything is constantly changing. So we say that you can't hold one thing for a very long time. Can't hold one position for a very long time. You can't hold one consciousness for a very long time. It's difficult, isn't it? We see throughout the history how the different nations, they come up, they rise, and they go down, and a new one comes up, and all the different kingdoms, different ideologies, philosophies, and they just keep coming, and everyone's fired up when this one's up, and then it goes away, and then a new one comes, and then they get a little tired because it's not offering them complete happiness and protection. So then someone comes up with another idea, even a religious idea or Vedic. So like this, constantly changing. constant fluctuation. So that's not very satisfactory for the eternal soul. It's not a very peaceful condition, this constant changing. And of course the birth and death, how long does the body last? 25 minutes? It's 50, right? 80 is old now, you know? When you're 80, that's it, practically speaking. So how long can you push on to achieve your desires, to achieve fulfillment? We don't have much time to do it. And even when we do it, generally find someone who's peaceful and satisfied. They're around 70. Means that although they may achieve something, they've only got a few years left anyway by the time they get it. Taken most of their life to achieve that position, and then you've got a few years left. Of course, they're going to benefit in the future. Obviously, they'll take something with them. But we should see this. Krishna says that one should see the inherent problems with this material nature. Lord Buddha also, those who are seeking liberation, he says that one should see the inherent problems of birth, old age, disease, death in everything. That these things can't be avoided. They're inherent. So as long as we're attracted to the modes of nature and trying to adjust our life to fit in with a particular mode of nature, then we should also be conscious of the implication of birth, old age, disease, death that goes along with it. That's material world. Whatever you do, you've got these four problems which go along with it. So the idea is to transfer the consciousness to away from these modes of nature. This is actually liberation, which is a natural condition of the soul. Liberation, and from the spiritual perspective, even this liberation, the soul can't be liberated. They're from the liberated position, from the spiritual position, the soul, as we read in the Bhagavad Gita, can't be contaminated by matter. Soul doesn't touch matter, so the soul actually can't be conditioned. And if it can't be conditioned, then how can it be liberated? This is described in the 10th chapter, in the 10th, 11th or 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very deep philosophy, because you can only talk about this when you're outside of it. When you're in it, you can't, very difficult to comprehend how the soul can't be conditioned. But the soul, we're directing our consciousness on the modes of nature, looking for some place there, within the modes of nature, adjusting our situation in this material world. So this is the position of the conditioned soul, or the bewildered soul. The soul is bewildered, the intelligence is bewildered, identifying this bunch of atoms, these elements, earth, water, fire and air, mind, intelligence, hunger. That's all there is. Right? That's all we're looking at and dealing with. So this is not this is a material world. Very bewildering. How to become free from all this? So the solution here is, the solution that Srimad Bhagavatam given is that you simply hear about and chant about Krishna. Simply remember Krishna, and all those misgivings will gradually go away. Because Krishna is like the sun, when we hear and talk and remember about Krishna and his qualities, his paraphernalia, devotees, etc., that act itself actually purifies the soul. Where Krishna is, Maya cannot stand. So the influence of Maya cannot be felt according to the the degree that we're actually intent on hearing, chanting and remembering and performing this service, so the degree that we're actually absorbed in that process for the right purpose, to that extent Maya can show herself. Can't show herself. But Srila Prabhupada said that while we're hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, we're liberated. You may not feel liberated, he said, but actually it is. At least for the period of the class. He said, when we go away, then we may do something else. He said, but why are we hearing this? This is the actual platform of liberation. We're not talking about the modes of nature. We're talking about Maya, but we're talking about it in a progressive way. We're talking about it in an analytical way. We're trying to understand what is actually going on. What is our situation? What is our attachment to the modes of nature? How it's affecting us? And then we can actually, when we understand that to some degree, whatever degree we understand that, then we can actually start to apply our consciousness to Krishna consciousness. If you don't know you're sick, why you'll take medicine? So first we have to hear about what is our actual condition, and we have to appreciate what is our actual condition. I mean, some people life's not so bad, so they don't feel a real great urgency to, you know, become free from it. Some people have quite easy lives. They don't feel that need. But we should, when we hear it, when we hear what this what the material nature actually is, what an ass we're making of ourselves, carrying this huge body around, trying to pacify it, trying to, you know, keep it happy in so many different ways, unlimited desires, unlimited unlimited reasons that the body not satisfied. So it just keeps us preoccupied 24 hours a day, trying to resolve to find that nice position where there's no more problems and that happiness is there. But you know, so the soul makes an ass, is like an ass of himself in the material world. The ass carries a heavy burden, right? So here we're carrying this huge body around. We're tiny, 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 tiny. When 10,000 apart, his body is like a mountain in size, and it's full of demands, and it's nothing to do with us. We just got to carry it around for 100 years, and then finally it crushes us and it's all taken away, and then we get another one, and then we try the same thing. So this is called Maya. But if we don't know what's going on, then we won't try to change the situation. I mean, we'll carry on trying to change it materially, trying to adjust materially to change the situation. But there's no cure. There's no solution to the material problem. There is no solution. The Brahmanda is a problem. Krishna's created it like that. It's a reformation place. You're a naughty boy, you go there. You go there, and when you come to your senses, you turn around and say, Krishna, I understand, I'm acted wrong, please take me back. This is basically what's going on. How long it will take us to come to that point to actually sincerely want to go back to Krishna and get out of this place, that's up to us. But that's all that is actually going on in the material world for those who are desirous to get out of it. So then we attach. We're already, attachment is there. You must be attached. You must be attracted to something. Otherwise you would be like a stone. What's the impetus to do anything? There's some attraction there, right? Attraction to either attraction or suffering. After class, there's an attraction to go and eat something. Why? Because we know if we don't go and eat some prasadam, we'll be suffering. We'll get hungry. So these attraction and staying ahead of, keeping ahead of the problems. It's so preoccupying. Maya is fantastic. Krishna's energy, she's fantastic. Little wonder we're attached. She's doing her job so nicely. So nicely. But we have to say Hare Krishna and turn the other way to Krishna. Focus our attention on Krishna. To his service, to his devotees, to service to his devotees, to hearing, chanting, remembering. This is all. This is the only solution. Then at that time, you're not actually in the material world. Although you're getting old, sick, and dying, you're, the consciousness is not, won't be there so much. you won't be experiencing those things because it's not necessary. One for a self-realized person, he's passed the test. He's got through. So then it's not necessary for him to experience those things. He doesn't have to experience them. Consciousness goes straight through. Although life goes on, so technically we're in the material world, but technically we're not in the material world. Soul is constituted properly. Soul is not part of this material world. So when one understands that, yes, let the material world go by, let my karma come and go, and whatever is going to happen is going to happen anyway, and do my service to Krishna. That's all. That is a saving grace. Then, at the end of life, if you remember Krishna, or he remembers you, then you go back to Godhead and leave the problem behind for others to take care of. But it remains a problem. There's no time when it's not a problem. Only when Mahavishnu breathes in, then there's a little rest. Everything goes back into the body of Mahavishnu. Then there's a little nothing going on. So there's a little rest. And then he breathes out again. Again it starts. So this is what this Kapila, when he's saying here, he's saying again, I'll read, the stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attached to the three modes of material nature is called conditional life or material life. But when the same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. Krishna consciousness. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jai Gopram Nandi Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, any comments or questions? For those that are going to stay, we're already late. Vajanjananda Prabhu. Would it be safe to conclude that more sattvic people go to the heavenly planets rather than back to Godhead? I would support your statement. Well, it's a very inviting proposition. If someone come and offered you the heavenly planets, here, come, step inside, there's no problems. It's only enjoyment. Who wouldn't go? Who wouldn't go?
Yeah.
I was reading that book by Radhanath Maharaj's autobiography. He went to one, I think it was a San Franciscan monastery, and in the basement they had all these remains of human beings, bones, skeletons, and some of them were formed into designs, the bones, ribcage, and furniture, and other things. And in one place there was one, and he had a robe on, and he was pointing like that, and there was another bunch of skeletons in robes also there, and there was a sign hanging saying, what you are, they once were. This is so they can get some detachment. What they are, you once were. So that's what, immaterially, that's what you got, kind of look forward to. So a little bit of shock treatment for the monks to become detached. Because that's actually what's at the end of the line. So it's only the devotees that go back to Krishna. Only those that want to go back. Because most people, they don't want to go back to Godhead. I mean, ideally they would do, because, but if the pious people that you speak to in the mode of goodness, to become a pure unalloyed devotee, it's not really there on their agenda. They're happy, you know, because they're pious people in the mode of goodness. They have a lot of respect from the other people because they're pious and they're giving charity and they're looked up to. And they have knowledge and they realize they're in a better position than these other people. In the mode of goodness, they realize you actually feel good. You know, we come here to show our superiority over the other living entities. This is Yeshwara Bhava. So even in the mode of goodness, it's there in a different way, but it's still they're appreciating how they're being appreciated and have that position and reputation, prestige, and they're actually doing good. And whatever they're doing is according to scripture. They, you know, they're following. But and at the end of this life, they can go to Swargaloka. The place where the demigods enjoy. What's wrong with that? So it's very, Krishna says also the mode of goodness is binding. But the problem is, like I said, it's a temporary situation. You can't stay there. What happens when you, again, you'll come back as human beings. And according to your attachment to the modes of nature, according to the association that you have, who knows whether you're going to get the same, you will take the same opportunities that you came from. You know, so it's very dangerous. Material life is dangerous. At any moment you can be misled and, you know, you can go down to a lower than human species. But generally they don't talk about these things. I've told this story many times, but I was talking to one of the engineers who was here building the samadhi, and he was worshipping Ganesh, but I was preaching to him, and he understood. He said, no, ultimately, you worship Krishna when you become old. You know, when you're finished with all your enjoyment and stuff, then you worship Krishna, because actually Krishna takes everything away. But I was just like pinning him down, you know, telling him what, you know, it's not a very good proposition, a wise proposition what you're saying. Why stay in longer than necessary? And I got him so, and then he ran away. I got him pinned down and he ran. he didn't want to do that. He wasn't ready for that. He had a lot of things to do. So this material world is like that. And so they're choosing, you know, they're in the mode, they may be in the mode of goodness, and they're living a very nice lifestyle, religious lifestyle, and, you know, and they feel fine. They're better off than everyone else around them. They feel fine. So, and they don't really want to, they don't want to give that up, for one thing. And there's no impetus. They haven't heard from the pure devotees. They're not, maybe not fortunate enough to do it. And that's what Prabhupada said also, many of my disciples will end up in the heavenly planets. Until you get something better, until you actually experience Krishna consciousness, it's difficult. It's difficult to say no to Maya. Because the next best thing to Maya is Krishna consciousness. Kshwaga, Brahmaloka, that's also in Maya's realm. Siddhaloka, all those things, you can do anything you want in those places. You have complete freedom. So much potency, so much power, so much control you have. But that's all in the realm of Maya. So what's more attractive than these things? So unless you've actually experienced Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult. They say a bird in hand is worth two in a bush. So you have to say no to that on a promise from Krishna. And sometimes he doesn't keep his promise also. We've heard that. Of course he does, but so that's the test of faith that one goes through. Unless you want to go back, why do you go back? You can't go back with the same consciousness. You have to give it up, or Krishna has to just, you know, hit you over the head with a or your guru hit you over the head and knock it out. But one or the other, you can't go back with that. So we'll try to develop that attraction for Krishna, which is the quickest way to do it. At the same time, we'll try to say no to Maya and, you know, accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable, and then hope for the best. And if we're really sincere, at that time to go, then we say, well, I don't, maybe I haven't established my relationship with Krishna in such a way. Jai Guru, Jai Guru. People would help me this time now. It's up to you. I can't do anymore. I can't do anything. This is the time. Then, you're being sincere. You're trying. You know, there's a mercy. Mercy aspect is there, you see. So it's not, you know, it's very difficult for the living entity to actually come to that platform of Sudasattva. Especially coming from backgrounds such as some of us may have come from. So that's the mercy aspect. But still we try for the, we're hoping against hope for Kripa Siddhi, but we're trying for Sadhana Siddhi, for perfection through Sadhana, but we're actually hoping for some mercy. Okay. Prabhupada ki jai.